greed, generosity, church, and you can't avoid them, Trump.
Hello, and welcome to the Prickly City Podcast for December 10th, 2018. I am Janine Fadich, and here is your host and the creator of Prickly City, Scott Stantis.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this week's edition of the Prickly City Podcast. I was just moving our little mic table back and forth.
Smash my
wow, this goes way out, too. This is cool. To describe our space, we actually, for those of you who care, it's a small little podcast bay, but it's got all the equipment you need. And
yeah.
Obviously, it's got microphones and stuff, but also has this, the mics sit on a slide-out table, you know, slide out so I can move it back and forth.
Okay.
And so the mic can go...
All right.
Oh, like that.
You know, they can't see this to enjoy it as much as I am, so let's just stop.
As much as you are. Hey, I have full disclosure this week. It was kind of a full morning. It got a little crazy, so I didn't have a chance to review the week that we're talking about. So Janine just kind of went over it just before we started recording. We kind of went over it. So the first one was talking about greed and talked about, you know, what do you get me for Christmas? And, you know, why don't we have, you know, instead of what do I get, what can I get someone else or something along those lines? And where Carmen learned her generosity, which was church, which I'm sure touched a few. Because I know a lot of my atheist friends will pop up and say, you could be a vital moral person without God. And I think that's probably true.
Yeah. No, it is true.
But
no,
this is
probably
what informs me, and I'm the author of the strip, so I can write these things.
You get to write what you want.
Damn it. So what are some of the comments?
Well,
and the last part of the week I really want to talk about because I think it's important.
Okay, we'll get to that then.
Yeah.
Nellie Rascal said, whoops, Carmen said Christmas instead of holiday.
Yep. Yeah, I'm. You know, this war on Christmas is such horse hockey. No one really does that.
No.
And happy holidays. You know what? It's the same. What's the other thing? It's like no worries. Is that the thing that's...
Oh, no problem. Yeah.
Is that what's pissing people off this week?
Is saying that instead of thank you.
Yeah. I mean...
I was the place I volunteer, they had some young teenage boys who were volunteering, and afterwards, some man, I don't know if he was associated with them or not, but he was saying that people of my generation don't like you to say no problem. They find it offensive. And they were arguing about that. And I thought, that's stupid. I mean, really? Someone does something nice for you and you don't like the way they say you're welcome, whichever way it is. So now you turn it into something about you.
Well, it also turns into something that we're just kind of searching for something
right.
to be
angry about. I mean,
they
did something nice. Who cares how
yeah.
they say? And no problem. People in Spanish, it's de nada, it's nothing. In other words, you don't owe me anything.
Yeah, in Australia or New Zealand, it's no worries.
Right, no
which
big deal.
I love that. I mean, it's like no worries. You know, it's like there was no big deal. It was, it's
glad okay. to do it kind
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, it's I just don't understand this. Why our pissed off o meter is set to, you know, 37 between a setting of 1 to 10. It makes no sense to me. But anyway, it's not. You know what, folks? There's a lot of things to get pissed off about in this world. That's not one of them.
No.
And happy holidays versus Merry Christmas, I don't care. Oh, I do care about what's funny is I work with some people and know some conservative friends who are like belligerently, you know, say Merry Christmas.
That seems just mean then.
Well, it just also seems to be contrary to the idea of Christmas. You know, it's supposed to be the good news coming into the world. It's not Merry Christmas.
And speaking of that, Braindead said, whatever happened to the war on Christmas? Do all retail clerks now say Merry Christmas instead of Happy Holidays? Does Fox, quote unquote, news and all the corporate offices now hold Christmas parties? Is there a Republican somewhere that realizes that replacing Christmas with holiday, the war on Christmas, came from corporate headquarters and not the left? Coffee Cup also responded to that. And the Bush White House, which always sent happy holiday cards, that socialist.
Yeah, you know, it's so funny. We go to a Chris Kindle Mart here in Chicago, and it is on Daly Plaza where the famous Picasso statues. It's where the government buildings are. It's a really cool thing. And it's wintry, and we get our little mold. Not mold, because that would be
different. No, that would be disgusting, probably.
Mold wine. And
cheese
we get
is good. Wine not so much, maybe.
Yeah, and we get the cheese, too, by the way, which
yes,
is delicious. Anyway, it's a great time, and it's just a lovely thing. But because they have a nativity scene or a creche there, they also have a menorah there. So, of course, they have...
The giant A. I love the giant A.
Why do you love the giant A?
Because I think it's funny. It's just hilarious. It's just there's this giant A that stands for atheism.
And it also looks, by the way, we as most of you know, when we moved here from Alabama, it looks like the Alabama A.
It does.
A. So every time you walk by it, rather than dismissing God, you just want to go, roll tide, roll.
Well, I noticed it got smaller from the past couple years. So I'm thinking maybe now, maybe it's more agnostic than atheist. Not quite as sure as they were before.
I don't know why I'm bringing that up. I just thought it was a charming moment. It's just like, you know what? I love this country. I love the fact that you can do that. There is, where in the heck is it? You know, if we had a computer, if only we had like a smartphone or something, we could ask this question. They had, someone put a satanic, was that Oklahoma? Kansas? One of those states you never think about. And although we love them because we run there. So God bless the Kansas and Oklahoma. But they, someone had a sculpture of Satan on his throne. I think that's a little... Satan stuff makes me a little
nervous. Well, because he's bad.
Yeah.
So it's not any good stuff?
Yeah.
If it was just like generic, like the pasta, Pastafarians.
I love the Pastafarians.
Spaghetti doesn't hurt anybody. So it's still...
Okay. And so the last part of the week, I talked about... is that okay? Can I jump ahead?
Go ahead.
You sure?
Yes, because I'm already lost. So ahead.
Well, that's okay.
Jump away.
We're talking. Jump. I'm wearing my pants backwards and crisscross, man. You know, they made you jump.
Yes.
They did. Anyway, so the last couple of ones talked about religion, and it talked about, help me out here.
Why evangelicals love Trump.
Yes.
And Carmen says that true believers do not, and then Winslow asks, why are they staying quiet? And she doesn't really have a good answer for that. She says they're busy being generous.
Yeah, I think they're actually busy doing their lives and doing good works.
Well, Ronnie A. Thompson says, many of us do speak out against the 1%. They are just not listening any more than the Pharisees and the Sadducees did when Jesus spoke.
That's an excellent point. It's absolutely true.
Well, and also, you know, you really don't expect everyone to always have to speak out, because they do this with Muslims. They'll say, why don't the, I'm going to put this in quotes, unquote, good Muslims speak out when these things happen? Well, first of all, many times they do. It's just not reported on. And second of all, are you supposed to always, like, you have to always, like, defend or, you know, say something? For anything, like if when white males do something wrong, do you have to go out and always say something?
Why are you pointing
something?
At me?
Because you're a white male.
Maybe I don't identify as one.
Okay, let's move on from that.
Go on.
But, you know, you don't always have to be responsible for what.
And more to the point, you and I are practicing and devout Catholics. And so when the Catholic Church, which has a few problems, I have a cartoon and I can stand up and talk about it and comment on it, but I generally don't, and I don't do it every time one of the stories breaks, certainly. That, you know, so going back to that point, I don't know that that's entirely
fair. Well, I think the religious leaders, though.
Well, you have religious leaders, and most of them, I mean, and they're all Protestant, they're all mega church type people. Franklin,
the ones who support Trump.
The ones who support Trump. I mean, it's crazy. Well, who amongst us hasn't paid off a porn star? And I'm going, well, gee whiz. I think, well, most all of us, really. It's not just that. Here's an example, if I may go off on a tangent. You were watching the funeral of George H.W. Bush and all the former presidents there, and Trump shows up. And during the service, Trump did not, I mean, he looked like a child that was forced to go to a service. Clearly, he doesn't go to church, by the way. He doesn't affiliate and does not attend church on any kind of a regular basis. He did not read along with the Apostles' Creed, which was bizarre. I don't know if the man can read now. I'm kind of convinced he can't.
He can lift up the paper and pretend.
Well, he didn't even do that. And so here's my point, and this is why I think it is an important time for people of faith to look at how he and Melania, who was also there, respond to it. When you're in God's house and you're called to acknowledge God's presence and you don't, as he did not, and it wasn't just the Apostles' Creed, it's during every religious service, he does not. It's rare that he'll bow his head and pray. It's the same man who said that he feels he's done nothing that he has to ask God for forgiveness for. I guess you can pay off God, too, maybe in his mind. My point is that why do Christians like this guy?
I think it's fine not to like some, you know, you don't have to, he doesn't have to be religious to do that. I think it's that he says he is, that he, you know, does all this. Hey, I brought back Merry Christmas and all this kind of crap.
Right. It's playing to an audience. And I think the insincerity of it is, you know, the Pharisees, you know, one of our commenters here talked about the Pharisees. And I think that's exactly right.
Well, Robin Hood said, evangelicals don't love Trump. They disliked other options. I mean, his opponent was not a paragon of integrity, but was a shining beacon of entitlement.
I'm assuming they're talking about Hillary, and that's probably true. But what's interesting about Hillary is, you know, and this is where, you know, that question of does going to church make you a better person or whatever, she goes to church on a regular basis. She's a Methodist. Bill went to Baptist church or whatever, and so they both attend church on a regular basis. So, you know, who knows what ultimately the litmus test is. But I guess what I'm getting at here, I'll come back to how the president responds in religious context, and unless he's kind of forced to and the rest of the group joins in, if you're called to God and you're called to witness God in God's house, I think you you act differently. You act reverently. You act humbly. And this guy does neither of those. So I come back to the idea of why in the world do evangelicals like him? I think they're right. I think who was that? Who commented?
Robin Hood
was right. I think that the evangelicals see someone there who is against abortion.
And that seems to be the main thing.
Yeah, adultery and all the nine other commandments, not so much. And I can see it. I think abortion is a moral issue, and it has to be discussed in moral context. But by turns, there are other issues, and this
immigration,
guy, that's another one.
Which you would think that churches would be for.
Well, the Catholic Church certainly is, mm-hmm. And we pray for that every Sunday, and for a reasonable immigration policy. We still don't get one. We get tear gas and build the wall. You know, and on immigration, there's a middle ground on that. There's middle ground on a lot of issues that we're not willing to meet. So someday, maybe, I don't know.
No, probably not.
Any other comments we need to get to?
No.
No?
Let's move.
Are we done?
I think we're done.
Wow, you seem down. Now you seem kind of...
Oh, no. Fine. I just think that we've kind of moved on past all these other comments. So
okay.
Let's just finish up.
Okay.
Okay.
No, you just seem angry.
No, I'm not angry.
Upset?
Scott, knock it off. I don't want to discuss stuff. I have a cold, so leave me alone.
Okay. You say that when you don't have a cold.
Well, leave me alone.
Well, thank you very much for this week's edition of the Prickly City Podcast.
You're talking to me?
Well, I'm looking right at you.
You're welcome.
Wow, we just had the station manager just taped an envelope.
Cool.
What does it say?
I don't know, but...
Don't use the studios anymore. How did you get in, Todd? Huh. Okay, well, I guess we'll have to answer that question. And other questions will be answered at the next edition of the Prickly City Podcast. In the meantime, I want to thank you especially for listening. If you want to keep up with the antics of Carmen and Winslow, you can do so by going to gocomics.com/prickly city. And you can actually register and get really cool stuff. And if you want to, you can even leave a comment and we might read it. It might make Janine cold worse.
Okay. Alone, I'm not going to do this anymore. You can do this by yourself.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'll leave you alone.
Edit out all that stuff.
No. And if you want to contact us directly, you can do so by emailing us at pricklycity@gmail.com. Wait, yeah. No, it's pricklycity@gmail.com. That's right, pricklycity@gmail.com. I think that about covers it all. So thank you, Brian Altimer. Thank you, WGN and WGN Plus. And until next time, we'll see you in the funny papers.